What is the meaning of life? Why were we created? What's your purpose? Why were all of us created? And what is our collective purpose? We will answer that question on this week's episode of the Faith by Reason podcast. Welcome to the podcast. The website behind it all, as always, is faithbyreason.net. There you will find the blog and our archives and a ton of information. You will also find our social media links, and you will find this very podcast. So we are going to wrap up the first series of podcasts by answering the question of what's the meaning of life? What is the point of existence? We're going to finally answer that question. And the answer is actually not even that difficult. I don't know why it's caused philosophers such a quandary all these many centuries. And the reason we can answer that question is because we have done a systematic analysis of life and existence. We started by noting that existence exists, and we know that existence has a first cause. We know that first cause is supernatural, and that first cause is always and completely right and just. And those are the only things we can know about the first cause based on our human logic and reason. Anything else we know about the first cause would have to come from the first cause itself. And we also have found out that that first cause did give us information about itself. And that information is the Judeo-Christian Bible. The Judeo-Christian Bible is the only information source that can be shown to be provably from the first cause. Therefore, we know that the first cause is the Judeo-Christian God. And if God created existence, then God would obviously have the answer to what's the point of existence. So what do we know about God from the Bible? Well, we know that God is love. We know that love is the choice to give without the expectation of getting anything in return. We know that God created the universe, that he actually spoke the universe into existence. And we know from science that this is the only logical and scientific way that the universe could have come into existence. And we also looked at the opposing argument, which is evolution, the idea that the universe came into existence naturally on its own. And we know that that position, that theory, is absolutely ludicrous, idiotic, stupid fairy tale. And we disproved it to great degrees. We know that evolution is impossible, and it's silly, and people still believe it, which is unfortunate, but it's a ridiculous argument. So we know that God created the universe out of nothing. And we know that the apex of creation is man, humanity, you and I. And God made us in a specific way for a specific reason. He made us with free will. We are the only creatures that he created with a free will. And why did he make us with a free will? Well, he made us with a free will so that we would choose to love him, because having a free will means that you have that objective choice. And the objective choice that God gave us is to either love him or not. God desires that we love him. As to why he has that desire, well, that's what we're going to talk about in this podcast. Because it begs the question, if God is perfect and complete, then why would he desire anything? And why would he desire us to love him? What desire could he possibly have, and how could we fulfill it? Well, let's look at who God is. We also saw that God is triune. God is a trinity. He is three. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's the only way that God could be loved, is for God to be three. Three persons in perfect fellowship. And you can go back and look at listen to the podcast about love and understand why God has to be three in order to be loved. You can also look at the blog post on that. So if God is three beings in a perfect fellowship of love, what could he possibly want? What could he possibly desire? Well, I would contend that a being who has everything and is completely complete, they could desire one thing. There is one thing they could desire. They could desire to have more of what they already have. And what would that look like? Well, if you are an entity of three entities, if you're in a relationship of a fellowship, rather, of three entities, what could be more than that? Well, if you have three entities in a perfect loving fellowship, the only thing that could be more than three entities in a perfect loving fellowship would be, well, four entities in a perfect loving fellowship. Instead of a trinity, you'd have a quadrinity. I just made that word up and it's cool, so I'll keep using it. So instead of a trinity, you can have a quadrinity. Instead of having three beings in a perfect loving relationship, you'd have four beings. So that would obviously be more without affecting the completeness and the perfection of the original three. And I would contend that the Bible, that information source from the first cause, is the story of God's endeavors to get that fourth member of the Trinity, to create that, again, quadrinity. And therefore, that quadrinity is the meaning of life. The point of existence, the meaning of life, is to add that fourth person to the Trinity, to add a fourth person to the Godhead, so that instead of three, there'd be four. So if that's the purpose of existence, and that's what's outlined in the Bible, and if we want to know how that happens, then we should probably go to the end of the Bible and see how it happens. Because if the Bible is the detailed story, and we want to know the big picture answer, then let's go to the back of the Bible, because that's where all the answers are. If you want to know how any narration in any book ends, any narrative ends, then you always go to the end and you see how it happens. So we'll go to the end and we'll look at the big picture viewpoint of it. And granted, we will spend the rest of the podcast and the rest of the blogs, as you've seen, if you've been reading the blog, are, you know, the details of how God gets from point A of creating the universe and existence to the end, having the thing that he wants, getting his desire. Then you would know that going to the end of the Bible, we can see exactly what we're looking forward to and what that end result will look like. So let's just go to the end of the Bible. And the last book of the Bible is the book of Revelation. And it's Revelation singular, not Revelations. There's no such thing as the book of Revelations. It doesn't exist. Anytime anyone talks to me about the book of Revelations, it just tells me they never read it, because the second word in the book is the book of Revelation. It's singular. So what happens at the end of Revelation? Well, most people think at the end of Revelation you have the final judgment, where God takes off his shoe and goes upside the head of the world for all the evil things that have happened throughout the centuries, and finally judges everyone. And that does happen in Revelation chapters 19 and 20. However, Revelation has 23 chapters. There are actually three more chapters that occur after the final judgment, which we call Armageddon and the Great White Throne of Judgment. What happens after that? Well, the actual very last thing in the book of Revelation is a wedding. That's right. The very last thing that happens is a wedding between the second person of the Godhead, the Son, marries a bride. So the meaning of life is a marriage. And now, for those of you who are married, don't freak out. I don't mean that the meaning of life is your marriage, because maybe you think, wait a minute, if the Bible ends with marriage in heaven and my marriage is in heaven, what's going on here? Well, don't worry about that. It's not your marriage. It's the marriage of the Son to the Son's bride. So who is this bride? Why does the second person of the Godhead, the Son, Jesus, the Christ, why does Christ want a bride? And again, who is the bride? Well, let's examine it a little bit. If this bride is going to be the fourth person of the Godhead who God desires, then that bride would have to be like God, right? This bride would have to be always completely right and just, and the bride would have to be eternal, so the bride would have to be spirit, and, you know, the bride would have to be like God in order to be with God. And that makes sense. So who is the bride? Well, here's the cool answer. The bride is us. Or at least that's how it's intended to be. The bride is intended to be man. The reason that God made man the way that he did, the reason God made humanity in the way that he did, so that humanity would choose to be the bride of Christ. Now, for those of you who are males, like me, who are men, don't get freaked out by the idea that a bride is feminine. The bride is symbolic. Just in the way that, you know, a father, son are symbolic. It doesn't mean that you know, God got somebody pregnant and had Jesus. No, they're symbolic. They're actually representations of a position, that, you know, the father has a certain position, the son has a certain position, and the bride has a certain position. So it's not a male female thing. It's a positional thing. And the reason that the humanity can be called a bride, or is intended to be a bride, is because the bride becomes one with the husband. If you look at what the Bible says about marriage, two people become one. Our human marriages are a model of the marriage that will happen at the end of time, when God gets what he wants, which is, you know, that fourth person. So if our marriages are working correctly, and unfortunately very few of them do, if they're working correctly, you have two people who become one with each other. So at the end of God's plan, when humanity becomes one with Christ, then they become, again, a part of that Godhead. And that's what that means. So don't worry about the male-female thing. This is really about the bride becoming like God in order to be with God, in order to be that fourth person of the Trinity, that quadrinity again. And that is our purpose. That is the meaning of life. Think about it. The meaning of life, consider it. The meaning of life is to be with God. In order to be with God, you have to be like God. So that is the purpose. The meaning of life is to be like God, so you can be with God and dwell with God forever. That is a magnificent, magnificent destiny that we can't even wrap our minds around. It is beyond anything we can possibly imagine. And that's why nothing on earth satisfies us. Remember in the second podcast, when we first asked the question of what's the point, and we went through all the different things that we try to do as human beings in order to get that fulfillment that we know we're missing. And we try money and fame and power, and all of those things come up short. They never satisfy us. And the reason is because our real purpose, our true purpose, is to be like God. And anything short of that purpose, anything less than being like God, is not going to satisfy us. It's going to leave us unsatisfied. So that's why no matter how much money you get, no matter how much fame you get, no matter how much power you get, no matter how much pleasure you happen to get on this earth, you will always be unsatisfied, because the best, the top, the highest thing we can achieve on this earth, the highest level of achievement we can get on this earth, is always going to be less than being like God. So anything we achieve on this earth is always going to leave us unsatisfied, because our purpose, our destiny, our meaning is to be like God, and anything less is not what we were meant for. And that's good news, because it means that we have an incredible destiny, but we have to choose it. We have to choose that incredible destiny. Now, why wouldn't we? Well, we'll get into that in a second. But for now, understand that our destiny, our purpose, is to be like God. And it is indescribable. Even the Apostle Paul, who he couldn't describe it. And this is not a man who was short on words or short on knowledge. The Apostle Paul was arguably one of the smartest men of his age. He was a brilliant man. In fact, there are some Bible scholars who contend that he may have been one of the smartest men to ever exist on the earth. And even he couldn't describe it. Paul was given a glimpse of heaven. And when he came back and he had to try to describe it, what he said that, you know, eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, nor has it even entered into the hearts of men what God has planned for those who choose him. Paul, this brilliant man who was loquacious, who had no shortage of words, even he said it hasn't even entered our mind. It's not even possible for us to imagine what it is like to be in heaven, to be like God. It is beyond anything we can imagine. And that's why anything we can imagine, anything we try to achieve, comes short of that. But it's a choice. We have to choose it. God is not a dictator. God wants us to love him. He wants us to choose to love him. He wants us to choose to be that bride, to be that fourth part of the Trinity, the quadrinity. But we don't have to. And there will unfortunately be, even though we're all intended to be, God's desire is for all of us human beings, to be a part of him and to be in that perfect loving relationship and to be like him. Many of us, a lot of us unfortunately, will not choose. And why will we not choose to be like God? Well, we talked about it a few podcasts ago when we looked at the whole evolutionary philosophy and mindset. There are some people who just don't want to be with God. They would rather live their own lives under their own auspices than to actually submit to the loving God who created them and wants to be with them. They would rather choose their own way, and God has to allow that, because that's the only way to be right and just. Because again, realize, we talked about this in our last podcast, man's nature is to not be always and completely right and just, but we have free will. We can choose to be right and just, but we can't be always right and just, because it's just not in our complete nature. We can choose it on occasion, but we can't do it completely. So that begs the question, how do we become like God if we can only choose to act outside of our nature and be right and just on occasions? Well, there are mechanisms that God put in place to make sure that we can be always and completely right and just like him. And these have to do with some pretty heavy doctrinal things like salvation and the sacrifice of Christ on the cross and resurrection and the church, which is a huge topic on the blog. You can get into it if you want to. But these are really heavy doctrinal things that I'm not just going to spring on you, because the modus operandi of this podcast, just like the blog, is to break everything down and to go on a systematic basis. And we are a long way from getting to salvation, church, sacrifice, resurrection, and all that good stuff. Suffice it to say that on the most basic level, that in order to be with God, in order to be like God, we have to choose to be right, always and completely. Is there a way to be right, always and completely? And if there has to be, because if there wasn't, then it wouldn't really be a fair situation for God to ask us to choose him and to choose to be like him. So, and there is a way to be always right. And in the next podcast, we are going to talk about how to be always right. There is a way it can happen. There is a mechanism that you can use on your own without any of the doctrinal stuff, without the whole, theoretically, without the whole salvation thing and the resurrection and all this stuff. There is technically a way that we can choose to always be right. And it's probably the most important philosophy that I will give you in this podcast and on this blog. If you can understand, if you accept and embrace the mindset, the thought process that I'm going to talk about in the next podcast, if you can embrace it and understand it, then you will get everything else. If you get nothing else from these podcasts and this blog, if you just get what's in the next podcast and just get that alone, that will eventually lead to everything else you'll need to know. That'll give you the basis for understanding everything else. Now, of course, I want you to listen to every single podcast and read every post in the blog. But if you get nothing else, just get this next podcast. It is that important because this podcast will teach you how to, the next podcast will teach you how to think like God. That's right. The next podcast will show you how to think the way God thinks. It will also show you how to always be right, how to resolve every argument within seconds. If you understand his mindset, any argument you get to, you can get into, you'll be able to resolve it in a matter of seconds. Not only that, but if you understand this, you will understand how to achieve world peace. That's right. If all the world leaders understood this concept that I'm going to present in the next blog, then we would have world peace in a matter of hours. It's that important and it's that powerful. It is the key to the meaning of life. It's the key to achieving the meaning of life. Now, before we go on to summarize this podcast, there's something I need to insert here. I'm actually inserting this bit of audio a little after I've already recorded the previous podcast because there's something that I forgot to mention in the last podcast about the nature of man that I think is really vitally important that you understand. And while I said that man's nature is to be not always and completely right and just, there actually is one more thing that is inherent to man, and that's actually inherent to all of God's creation, something that we're actually hardwired for. And I'm using the computer term hardwired because it's just something that is basic in our functionality, in our mindset. We all have it. Everything that God created has this particular mindset, and that is the mindset to worship. All of us, everything God created is hardwired to worship, specifically to worship him. A nature worships God. The Bible says, and I'll put this in the show notes, it says the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. So just actual, all of nature worships God. The angels worship God. You know, the angels are the other intelligent creations of God, and they always worship God. Every time you see the angels presented in the Bible in heaven, they are always worshiping God. It is in their nature to worship God. And it is the basic component of all of the things that God created to worship him, including man. And it makes sense that we worship him. And let me define worship. Well, I'm going to give you a quick definition of worship. I'm going to do a podcast on this in the future and also a blog post in the future on worship because it's really important as to, you know, why God wants us to worship him. It almost sounds like an ego thing, but that God doesn't have the kind of ego that men have. He doesn't have that kind of pride, yet he wants us to worship him. Why? It's not because, again, God just needs to feel better about himself. That's silly. That's a human frailty. No, God wants us to worship him because it's the way we were designed, and we work optimally, mentally, spiritually, and physically when we worship God. And what does worship mean? In a quick sense, worship simply means, the etymology of the word worship means to bow the head. It means to acknowledge something is greater than you, to bow before something else. When we worship God, when we bow before God, we are acknowledging that God is greater than us, that he is more powerful than us, that he is superior to us. And that is in our nature to worship. Now, here's the thing. Because man has a free will, unlike the rest of nature, unlike the rest of God's creations, which are also hardwired to worship, they are hardwired to worship God, man has, again, free will. So although we are hardwired to worship, we can choose not to worship God. And unfortunately, many of us, many human beings, choose not to worship God. And the bad part about that is, If we are designed to worship God and we don't worship God, then we are not acting optimally as we were created, and it results in us not operating at our highest level, and actually results in damage to us, to our mental, physical, and spiritual state. Because since we are hardwired to worship, we are going to, if we don't worship God, which we are supposed to do, we will worship something else. Every human being worships something or multiple things. We all worship. We can't not worship. It's just not in our nature not to worship. And if we don't worship God, unfortunately, we are going to worship other things. Human beings, we worship money. And there are people who worship money and put money ahead of everything else. Nothing wrong with having money. I like having money. Everyone likes having money. But there's a difference between liking something and worshiping it, putting it at the forefront of your life, making it the priority of your life. And there are people who do that, who make money their priority. And they become like money. There's actually a scripture in the book of Psalms, and I'll put that in the show notes, that basically intimates that you become like what you worship. And there's a good hint as to why God wants us to worship him, because if you become like what you worship, well, then if you worship God, you become like God, which is, again, part of the meaning of life, which we've been talking about. However, if you worship something else, you will become like that thing. If you worship money, you're going to become like money. And what is money? It's cold. It's inhuman. It's just math. It's just numbers. It's cruel. It doesn't have any empathy. And if you are someone who just chases the dollar, you're going to become like that. Some people worship human intellect, and they put the intellect of men above all else, and that's what they pursue as the highest goal, is man's intellect. And you know, if you believe that, then you become prideful and distant and emotionally detached, like the so-called intellectuals. Some people worship sports teams, and that's actually a pretty common thing where you know, they have, you know, this our local sports team or our college team, the team we rooted for going to college, we actually put that ahead of our lives. And you can see how that affects folks who put that at the forefront of their lives, and they have their flags flying, and they spend all their money going to these different games, and they become like sports. They become very performance-based. And if their team loses, then they are depressed for a week. And if their team wins, then they're elated for that week until the next week comes around, and then they get all the anxiety again. And it's extremely common. Unfortunately, a lot of us also worship celebrities. We put these people who have talent to sing or act or somehow are famous without being able to have any real talent to sing, act, or do anything else. I'm looking at you, Kardashians. But we worship celebrities. We put them on this pedestal. We put them higher than us. And we actually believe everything they say, and we take their opinion seriously, even though most celebrities are pretty ill-educated. I mean, they're folks who maybe barely have a high school diploma, which is fine because, you know, they're not neuroscientists, they're not rocket scientists, they're not doctors. Their profession is to sing and act and dance and whatever it is they did to become famous. So, of course, it makes sense that they aren't going to go to medical school or go get a PhD in physics, and that's fine. But we put them on this high pedestal, and we take their opinions seriously. I mean, you can't go to a news site to read about what's going on in our current environment without seeing a story about how some celebrity X has an opinion on the president or on politics or on the environment or on something that they have no background, no intellect to give any type of valid opinion about, yet there's their story, and we read about it, and we go to our friends and say, hey, you know what comedian X or actor X said about abortion or gun rights or any other political hot button or any other politician. Why do we care? Why do we care what these, frankly, uneducated and downright dumb people think about things that matter to us, you know, like what's going on, you know, politically and socially? Why do we give them any credence? Why? Because we worship them. Go to any concert and you will see people, thousands of people, filling an auditorium or a stadium. And what are they doing? They're holding their hands up. They're reaching out to this person who's on the stage singing. And, you know, I've been guilty of it myself. I'm not perfect. I'm a huge fan of the late artist Prince. If you've been listening to this podcast since the beginning, you know that Prince used to be my podcast music until I found out that I could be sued for playing his music without permission. But anyway, I've gone to concerts where Prince was there, and I had to actually check myself and make sure that I wasn't worshiping him while I was enjoying his music. Nothing wrong with enjoying music, nothing wrong with enjoying movies and any type of entertainment, but you can't elevate these people or what they do to the level of worship. But if we don't worship God, we will worship something else. Every person you see, whether they are Christian or not, they're going to worship something. They're either going to worship the true God of the Bible, or they're going to worship some other God, some other creature or demonic entity that calls itself God. Like the, I'm about to be very politically incorrect, like the territorial Middle Eastern demonic entity who calls itself Allah, they're going to worship that, or they're going to worship all the various and sundry Hindu gods, or all the whatever religion you name, they're going to worship that. They're going to worship something because it is hardwired into us. Why? Because we are God's creation, so it's only natural that we would see him in a superior state because he is our creator, and he made us that way. And if we follow the meaning of life, if we embrace the true meaning of life, which is to be with God and to be like God, then the good news is worshiping God is going to be natural to us, and it's going to fit perfectly, seamlessly into the meaning of life that we all want and that we all pursue. But on the other hand, if we pursue one or more of these other idols, be it money, be it fame, be it our own intellect, be it celebrities, be it our favorite sports team, be it someone of the opposite sex or the opposite sex in general, people worship sex and people put sex ahead of everything else. And again, you become like what you worship. So I'll let you go down that own road yourself. But anything that you worship other than God is going to warp your mind and is going to damage you. And I will give you the ultimate example of that damage. Remember, I said that angels worship God. They're always worshiping God in the Bible. The angels in heaven. However, not all angels are good. We know of the bad angel, the worst angel of them all, one who was formerly Lucifer, the light bearer, who became Satan. Why did he become Satan? Well, you can look it up in the blog post on Satan. You can look up the category. There's tons of blogs that I've done about him. And he started out as a good angel, as the ultimate angel, the angel who was in charge of presenting worship to God. And he wanted some of that worship for himself. And because he wanted that, it began to warp him. And that's what's so interesting about celebrities. As an aside, quickly, not only is it bad for us to worship celebrities because we weren't intended to worship anything else, but worship is something that doesn't just happen on our physical plane. Something is going on spiritually. When you worship anything, there's some spiritual, for lack of a better word, energy being traded. There's some type of energy transfer happening when you worship something. So not only is worshiping these celebrities bad for us because we're worshiping something that's not God, it's bad for the celebrity because celebrities, any human being was not designed to receive worship. Only God can receive worship. And if you are receiving the worship of other human beings, if you are receiving that, again, I'll call it spiritual energy, for lack of a better word. I'm not getting all new agey, but I just want to, you know, give it a term, some terminology. If you're absorbing that spiritual energy that you were never meant to absorb, it's going to warp you. And that is one of the reasons why celebrities act so insane, because their minds are being warped by the fact that they are on the spiritual plane receiving spiritual energy that they were never intended to receive and they are not designed to receive. So going back to Lucifer, he was not, just like any other part of God's creation, he was not designed to receive worship, even though he wanted it. And that warped him and made him into the evil, twisted, insane, an unfortunately very powerful entity that we have to deal with as Christians. And even if you're non-Christian, you're still dealing with Lucifer, with Satan, whether you like it or not. So in short, we are designed to worship. We are hardwired to worship. Optimally, we will worship God. And if we do worship God, then we are in line with God and our spirit is in line, and we are aligned with him physically, spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. And you know, we're in a good place. However, if we don't worship him, which we have the choice not to do as human beings with free will, then we will worship something else. Something else will get our worship because we are designed to worship, and it will warp us. And if whatever you're worshiping is another human being or another entity, then that entity will become warped or become even more warped. So that's something very important to keep in mind. As we move forward, it's going to become very important when we start getting into our discussions of biblical history, starting with Adam and Eve and original sin. That's going to be very important. So just keep that in mind. And now I return you back to our regularly scheduled podcast. So let's summarize. The point of existence, the meaning of life, is to be like God so you can be with God forever. And that state of existence, which is beyond anything that we could ever possibly imagine, that is the state we know of, or that we call heaven. So the point of existence, the meaning of life, is to be in heaven, to be with God and to be like God. And the entire story of the Bible, the entire narrative from Genesis to Revelation, is God's endeavor to to get what he wants, his endeavor to get man to the point, to get us to the point where we will choose to be with him and choose to be like him. And all of the sacrifices, the work, the incredible endeavor that he has done to make this happen for us, the great sacrifices that he has done to make this possible. And the rest of these podcasts and the rest of the blog are going to deal with, for the foreseeable future, will be dealing with how God works to make this possible and what our role in it is. And again, it's a truly incredible, amazing, spectacular, awesome destiny that we can have. And it shows that God has gone through so much to get what he wants, so much sacrifice to get us to be like him and to be with him. And that means we are special in spite of what the Darwinian philosophists say, despite of what the secularists say. We are special. We do have a purpose. We do have a point. The point is that the first cause, who created everything, thinks that we are so special and we are so wanted and so loved by him that he literally moves heaven and earth to make the choice to be with him so incredible and so obvious that we would be crazy not to choose him, even though many of us don't do so. And that is truly unfortunate. But never mind them. Since you are listening to this podcast, you are in all likelihood a Christian, and you have probably embraced this already, and you want to know more about it and understand it better, and that's what we're here for. And we're going to start in the next podcast on the second series, and it'll be a shorter than the first. It'll just be maybe 4 or 5 podcasts where we really deal with the mechanisms behind how to be like God and what God has done in a big picture sense to make it possible for us to choose him, to be like him, and to be with him. And it's some really cool, exciting stuff that I can't wait to get into. The next few podcasts are just really important foundation laying for the rest of the series. And it will help you understand God and the Bible even better when you understand these next few podcasts. So thank you for listening. It's been great. Thank you for getting through this first series with me. I hope it's been really helpful for you. Please give me your comments. Please remember to subscribe to the podcast. And by the way, one thing I have not mentioned very much is that not only can you subscribe to the podcast by going to faithbyreason.net, you can also subscribe to us via iTunes and Google Play and Android and TuneIn and Stitcher and some of the other ones. I haven't talked about those too much because I prefer you subscribe through the blog, and so you get the podcast on faithbyreason.net. But if you are the type of person who prefers to get them through iTunes and through Google Play or any of those other podcasting tools, just click on those underneath the podcast player and you will be subscribed there, and you can get them through your iTunes. You can play them on your iPod or whatever other device you have, your Android device. So please do that. Please subscribe to the blog. Please subscribe to the podcast. Leave me your comments. Follow us on social media. And I will talk to you next week when we look at how to always be right. All right. See you next week.